Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Three Big Decisions. Based on that extended gospel reading that Vicar read for us, you might be wondering all these last weeks why the gospel readings have been so long. It's a tradition in the church as Holy Week gets near to read extended portions of the gospel, the Passion account. So it is our privilege to remain standing out of respect for our Lord and all that He did for us and all that He suffered as these holy accounts are read. Today's sermon is based just on three verses from that reading. Let me read that to you again. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The governor Pontius Pilate again said to them, "Which of these two do you want to release to you, Jesus or Barabbas?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." This morning, we're going to talk about decisions. Now, decisions are often things that we don't want to do. We want to put them off. We want someone else to make them for us. But today, we're going to talk about decisions, specifically three decisions made in this gospel reading for today. One decision made by the crowd, the people. One decision made by Pontius Pilate. And one decision made by God our Father in heaven. These decisions were all made after Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that event that we remember today with our children waving the palm branches. On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered into Jerusalem in what many could call a victory parade, like a parade we hope are going to be shown for the Hockey League Championship in this city. Jesus came into Jerusalem. A victory parade was held for him. The crowd was festive and joyful, cheering. Jesus was coming. And they were excited. They hailed him as the Messiah. Did you hear what the children sang? Hosanna, Hosanna. It's a Hebrew meme which means save us now, save us now. They hailed Jesus as the one who might be the one to free them from the oppressive control of the Roman occupation troops in Judea. But just 5 days later, after shouting Hosanna, the same crowd was calling for his crucifixion. Let him be crucified. And now come the three big decisions. But before we get to these three decisions, let's take a little closer look at the scene before us. Jesus is on trial before his crucifixion. What a scene. The heart of the action in this trial lies in the decisions that are going to be soon made. The people who came face to face with Jesus had to make a decision. They couldn't remain neutral. A decision had to be made. They had to make up their minds about him. The hour of decision had finally come. I forgot to mention earlier, if you care to follow the sermon outline, it's on the half sheet folded that was handed to you. You can follow the message along. But before these three big decisions at the trial came some other decisions. Judas decided, and he betrayed Jesus, and he took his own life. Peter decided, and he denied Jesus, and he ran away with blinding tears in his eyes. The other disciples decided, and they abandoned Jesus, and they hide to protect themselves. And now, in this trial scene, The stage is emptied except for a faceless crowd. A Roman governor who doesn't even want to be there. A thief and a murderer named Barabbas. And our Lord Jesus. The man who had the hardest time making up his mind about Jesus was Pontius Pilate. Pilate has a sense of fairness as he tries to administrate Roman law. He sees that this Jesus, who he doesn't even know, is not getting a fair deal. But Pilate also has power, and he intends to keep it. So as any good politician would, he sees a need to cater to the crowd. And by the way, Pilate didn't have to waste millions of dollars of tax money to have another election instead of feeding and caring for people who can barely live. But you didn't hear me say that. Pilate, the politician, is between a rock and a hard place. He knows what's right, but he wants to please the crowd. He knows Jesus isn't guilty, but he wants to keep his plumb political position. He's between a rock and a hard place, and he has to make a decision, and finally he comes up with what he thinks is a brilliant idea. He'll let someone else make the decision. Ha ha ha! Does that sound like any of us? When we have a tough decision to make, let someone else make the decision. Pilate says, let the people decide. Oh, I'll be democratic about it. And so I'm going to give these people a choice. They can choose between good and evil, between God and man, between Jesus and Barabbas. Surely they'll decide the right way. Aren't many minds better than one? Surely the goodness of mankind will win out, and truth will shine forth. Right. And within this moment now, the scene becomes amazingly modern and 21st century. We may call it spiritual blindness. We may call it a mob mentality. But we must never forget that these people who were calling for Jesus' crucifixion were simply a cross-section of all humanity. Men and women from their homes, from their stores, from their place of work, from the marketplaces of Jerusalem, religious people. People who wouldn't think of killing an animal on a Saturday Sabbath, but who were willing to kill their Lord on a Friday. Why did the people cry out, "Give us Barabbas"? I don't think it's because they hated Jesus personally. Now, their religious leaders may have hated Jesus, but not the crowd. How do you hate someone who only spoke of God's love, who healed the sick, who welcomed the outcast when others would have nothing to do with them? No, we need to see in the demands of the crowd something very dark, and I would even say demonic. The people made their decision and they cried out, "Barabbas!" The world today makes their decision about Jesus and the world cries out, "Barabbas!" We cry out today and often make our decision, "Give us Barabbas." Because we are all under the same evil compulsion the Bible calls sin. Here it is. Here is what was behind that decision on that Friday morning and still is behind these decisions today. It's sin. Every sin of the world was present that spring morning at Jesus' trial. What was in the air, what was in the heart that spring morning is still in the air and in our hearts today. Have you ever asked yourself the question, When you look around the world today, what is wrong? What is wrong with the soul of mankind? Why do we do the things we do to one another? What is at the heart and core of each of us? What that which compels us today to choose evil instead of good? To choose evil instead of God? To choose Barabbas instead of Jesus? It's sin. Sin is at the heart and core of each of us. And if you're sitting there this morning, thinking for even a moment that you don't have a problem with sin, I'm here to tell you, you're only fooling yourself. Holy Scripture says it very clearly, more clearly than I could say it. Holy Scripture says these words, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So far we've talked about two decisions. One made by the people and one made by Pilate. But now, are you ready for some good news? Let's now talk about God's decision. Let's take a look at God's side of the story. Let's take a look at God's view of that Friday morning scene in Jerusalem. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful decision that God made on our behalf. We have a standard joke at home. Sometimes when I get ticked off with the way things are going, with the stupid things people do, I say to my wife, "Oh man, if I were God, boom!" And she looks at me as only my sweet wife can do and says, "Buddy, let's be thankful you're not God." God looks at the sin of mankind. And on that Holy Friday, God makes a decision. A decision that leads to His Son dying for you and for me. What's the decision God made? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Now, if we in realism and repentance, Sunday morning is a good time to get real and to repent. If we in realism and repentance identify ourselves with the crowd that yells out Barabbas, try this one on for size. God in His pity and God in His mercy identifies us with Barabbas. Barabbas for whom Jesus became the substitute. Barabbas who went free because Jesus took His place on the cross. Barabbas who lived because Jesus died. Barabbas was a convicted criminal, most likely a thief and a murderer. Barabbas deserved the execution that he had been sentenced to by the Roman government. But on that day of his trial, can you imagine being Barabbas? On that day of his trial, Barabbas must have been the most surprised and thankful criminal in the history of the world. Because as he was marched before the crowd and the judge, the governor, Pontius Pilate, Jesus was sent to the cross meant for him. And Barabbas was set free. My friends, Jesus became the substitute for you and for me. We are free because He took our place upon the cross. We live because Jesus died. He paid the penalty that our sins deserve. This is what biblical theologians over the centuries have called the great exchange. He got what we deserved, so we get what He deserves. What an exchange! To use an English expression, we can see who got the short end of the stick on that deal. St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 puts it this way. God made Him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 8, 9 and says these words. Listen carefully. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. All of this because God made a decision for you and for me. And this decision that God made is called forgiveness. And like the thief and murderer Barabbas, guess what? We don't deserve it. But because of God's great decision for you and me, we can leave this church building today freed from our sins and forgiven and given a new hope for the future. So, hey you, Barabbas, run, Barabbas, run. Jump, Barabbas, jump. Shout, Barabbas, shout. Your chains of sin and guilt have been taken off. You are free. Given this forgiveness, as thankful recipients of God's great decision, what do? Only one thing. We live the rest of our lives striving to live as His people, praising Him with everything we are and do. Well, we're rounding third, heading toward home on this sermon. Our final thoughts. When we're faced with the many decisions this world brings our way, we will not join in the multitude around us. We will not simply want to fit in with the crowd. We will not adopt the false priorities of the godless. We will not cry out, "Give us Barabbas." Instead, we will, with humble and thankful faith, declare, "Give me Jesus." In the name of Jesus. Amen.